catch you.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Right there.
Are you good?
Of course.
You do you. I was just
is that good, everyone?
That's good.
Everybody good?
Thank you, Randy.
Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me.
All right, Randy. Why don't you kick us off?
Gentlemen, to say that this was a tumultuous special session would be an understatement, would it not?
Would.
Give me your imprint on it. I mean, you came and you did what you said it was going to happen. You passed those measures, House Bill 1, Senate Bill 1. What are you hoping it's going to do for the state?
Well, it certainly gives an opportunity to look at those congressional districts again. This is a chance at all of them if we get some reprieve from the courts. And so we'll see how that goes, and certainly hope that the Supreme Court will overturn Amendment 14 and gives us a shot to revisit those.
What would you say from your perspective, I mean, other than Mr. Pro Tem, everyone was relatively silent on the goings-on. What would you say from your perspective is the biggest misconception about what the bills do and a message that you'd like to send out?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the biggest misconception is the thing about it is people tend to forget what happened when this thing went to court before. We actually, the Republican Party had that seat in, I guess, in Mobile, number two, congressional seat two, so the district two. And so that was one of the things, there's been a push through the courts to try to overtake some of these red state seats, and that's certainly what happened in that one. And with the ruling that happened in Louisiana, we felt like it gave us a chance to maybe regain that seat, but also opened up District 7. But I think that's happened. All we need now is the courts to overturn 14, and then we can look at a new election. The thing is, if we did nothing, nothing was going to happen. And I applaud the governor for calling us back in and give us a chance to revisit that and look at it. And, what happened here in Montgomery in that Senate seat probably should never happen to begin with. And so, of course, I'm at the point that probably none of it should happen to begin with. We got three branches of government. It's our job to legislate, to draw those district lines, and for the court to interfere with that. And to be honest with you, I thought it was a slap in our face because we'd spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in reapportionment drawing those maps, and they let an 18-year-old kid from the university, or I don't know how old he was, maybe 19, send the map in, and they took it without consideration for what we had done. And, the way that the system is set up, that's the job of the legislative body. And I think we've done it in an appropriate way, and it's disappointing that they didn't follow that rule.
Mr. Speaker, what did you mean by overturn the 14th in the courts? I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, that's kind of the stumbling block for us. I think with the clearing of Amendment 2, what happened in Louisiana gave us a clearer runway, but because of the court order that we had with Amendment 14, it kind of doesn't give us the ability to move forward, and I think Pro Tem Pringle will probably speak to that probably better than me. So
that's exactly right. The court changed the process by which you get a Section 2 violation, but the court, just like in Louisiana, said that their Section 2 violation rose to the level of a 14th Amendment violation. So naturally, our attorneys are going to appeal that decision, and we've got an appeal on both the House, the congressional plan, and the state senate plan.
So you're talking about the court, removing that charge or overturning that charge, not overturning the 14th Amendment?
Yes. Now, the Louisiana case, they specifically said that the Milligan case still stands in Alabama, but, it will come back to the 11th Circuit, and the 11th Circuit will probably have to rule again. We will be before the 11th Circuit asking for an appeal.
Gentlemen, what about the optics of this? There's a lot of people, certainly the protesters outside and a lot of the members here who are black, talking about this setting Alabama back, 60 years to Jim Crow.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. What about when we had it overturned and the Republicans lost it? Of course, we didn't riot, we didn't protest, and we did what we thought was did in a professional manner. To have that kind of statement to me is ridiculous.
District 2 under the Livingston plan would revert to, I think, about a 39% black voting age population. What is that district to you? Is that a red district or purple district?
I don't know. I think that'd be determined by the voters.
In 2030, you'll be able to, use the traditional redistricting process and start all from scratch. Why do you feel it's important to do this new maps and special election process or options this year instead of waiting for 2030?
We're not drawing new maps. That's the biggest misconception. We were asking the courts to lift the injunction and let us go back to the map the legislature passed for the congressional plan and the map the legislature passed for the state senate plan. We are not drawing the maps.
We're so close to an election, and something that Democrats had also said throughout is that Alabama voters had said that they didn't want to see changes to elections within a certain amount of time of that election. We've got less than 2 weeks from now to the primary. Why go through with this if voters before had said that they wanted to make sure that they understood the ballot before they go to vote?
Yeah, this hasn't got anything to do with the 19th election. It has nothing to do with May 19th.
Respond, if you could, to the disturbance in the gallery that caused you guys to stop for a little bit. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, they are. Let's be honest about it. You guys have been here. You've seen it. I mean, they're busing these people in buses. I don't, probably part of these people is not even from Alabama, you know, and they did it intentionally to try to get attention. And my thing was, I wasn't going to stay in the chamber and let them get the attention that they wanted. You know, we want to be professionals in the chamber, and I think we took a recess to make sure that it kind of settled down a little bit and try to come back in and finish our business, and that's what we did.
The emotion on the floor and the tension between parties was at an all-time high during this special session, more so than what I had seen in the 2026 session. What was that? What you had expected, or what do you think that says?
No, it wasn't. It was with one or two members. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't put that whole party in the same boat as one or two people. I mean, you had one or two people that probably acted unprofessional, to be quite honest with you. But the majority of them did it the way they're supposed to do it, by acting like professionals. So, no, I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that statement. I mean, I think most of the Democrats acted in a manner that was professional, tried to voice their opinion, and that's why we let it go for 4.5 hours Wednesday, is to give them an opportunity to speak. And so, you know, you got one or two that wants the attention, that tries to grab you guys up here and run up here and talk to get the attention. And I think that the whole party, being the Democrats, they can take up for themselves, but I don't think they should all be put in that category.
All right, time for one more.
Ivy initially said she wouldn't call a special session. Were you involved in any discussions asking her to call the special session?
I'm involved in every discussion we have. I mean, we have discussion all the time about different issues, and certainly I knew that we had talked to her staff about it, and we had kind of laid out the lay of the land to see where we were at and see if it was something that was doable. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't know she was going to call it. I didn't know it until 30 minutes before she called it. I got a call 30 minutes before she put it out to you guys. So that's when it comes to me.
All right, last question to Randy.
Gentlemen, was there anything during those 4 hours and the other hours that you spent talking with members of the other side of the aisle that maybe said, you know, maybe this is something we could take and work on later on, or maybe something that's sticking in your mind that they said that is sticking with you?
Chris?
No, you know, it's all we're doing is setting up the opportunity to nominate people for these offices should the court change. Now's the time to do it. We need to know if the court changes its position, how we will go about nominating people to run for public office.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. We're signing today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You want to know how I talk?